And welcome to an action-packed Power Hour on HalfGuarded.com. I'm your host, Mitch Pump, co-host Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
You might be getting the hurricane soon, so I think I'm finally doing better than you for a change.
I think you're just gonna get like maybe a tornado watch or something. So,
well, see, what I was told is that if you get a hard rain in Atlanta, everybody loses power.
Sometimes. But I don't know. I feel like we're in good shape with this one. We'll find out if my power goes out during this broadcast.
I bought a generator after Florence. So I feel I'm ready. Bring it on, motherfucker.
I'm not gonna worry about it. Because like, hey, we're still like 5 hours away from that hurricane. That shit's gonna die down. And it's kinda blowing right. So we just may get like the outskirts of it.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how that goes. I mean, the track I was originally seeing was like Atlanta, like you don't want to be to the right of the storm.
Yeah, and we're not. Well, like the other beauty is too, like there's a reason that a lot of people have always lived in this area, and it's because like we don't get hit as bad with weather. Let's say like South Georgia. Which I'm assuming is just destroyed, as is my beloved Mexico Beach.
Yeah. What do you call that? What is that other place? Panama City Beach.
Panama City Beach, which luckily my family no longer holds an interest in, so good.
Something kind of coming. Whatever that fucking rich asshole island was where they refused to leave for fear that, I don't know, roving bands of blacks would come loot their empty houses. And then they suddenly realized, oh shit, a fucking Category 5 hurricane's heading right at us. Asked the state to let them out, and the state just went, like, we asked you to leave, like, for the last week. You can't now. So, looking forward.
What
to,
island is that?
It's some island off the coast of Florida. Mm. It's like some just rich asshole island. And it's just, that's very funny to me, like, self-guillotining rich people. It's very good.
Well, my favorite thing about this storm was, did you see, like, the big-time Christian guy who said the Democrats are doing this?
Sure.
Kavanaugh or whatever? And then a bunch of people in the replies were like, we just need to pray. Like prayer got rid of Florence in North Carolina, I guess?
Yeah, that was a thing. I got a text message from friend of the show, Cameron Kleiner, asking me, you know, I didn't hear one of those sumbitches saying that this, like, that... Central North Carolina got fucked up because of worldliness. Well, ain't that funny?
Weird.
Ain't that funny how that worked?
Weird. No, it's retaliation by the Dems with their weather machine.
Yeah, that's a Jesse Ventura thing, isn't it? The government has a weather machine that can.
It's the government had a weather machine though. It's all controlled by Republicans. So like, wouldn't California be getting hit with like 3 hurricanes or something?
Yeah, it seems to be always red state America that gets butt-fucked by hurricanes.
Weird how that works. Maybe God's punishing them.
Like we've had any recent a recent report saying that perhaps there's some issues we need to start doing something about
with the environment. Oh, we're not going to do anything.
Yeah. Have you heard what we're actually going to end up doing?
Making it worse somehow.
It's called geoengineering.
Hell yeah.
And you just run planes up in the sky forever. And when I say forever, I mean until the end of time. Spraying aerosols, so literal chemtrails, that reflect the sun to force cooling by literally just blocking out the sun with aerosols.
So like just like drones, essentially, would do this.
Basically. The article I read was, if once you start, you have to do this forever. Like, this is just human existence now, is that there will be planes spraying aerosols into the sky for the rest of time.
Well, you know what, though? You put some ads on those, self-paying.
Well, they got to be up in the atmosphere, so you won't be able to see them.
No, is there a way I can see a Coca-Cola logo there? Because I feel like we could get this financed by corporations. Like, not to go all neoliberal here, but...
And apparently this is the cheapest option, because it would only cost you, like, $1.5 billion a year. Which that's...
Oh, that's a drop in the bucket. That's like the whole world getting together on that, right?
Yeah. So it's the cheapest option, but it's also the option that's like oh man, if this break, like, what if the aerosols fuck something else up? And apparently it's not going to do anything about acidization of the ocean. That's well, still going to happen.
You know. But at least it won't be so hot.
It stops some of the most, it will stop, like, the most catastrophic elements of climate.
Does this mean we can keep golf courses in Arizona?
Yeah, that means we don't have to change anything about how we
do. Well, that's the solution, baby.
But it's going to be the one that's like
solution possible.
But it's going to be the one that has the most possible drawbacks.
Well, that's the best. Cheapest, that's the, yeah.
But it's cheapest and it fixes the problem.
Well, there we go. No, I don't need to hear these negative parts. Something that might happen. You know, we'll deal with that. And we'll just fix it then.
So that's absolutely what we're going to end up doing.
It's going to own. That's going to create jobs, Dan.
And we just got to pray that it doesn't cause, like, zombies or whatever.
Well, hell, and if it does, good. It kills us. Like, the also end goal is just, I want the Earth to kill us all instead of us killing each other all. But the end goal is the same. Get rid of humanity. That's the what we preach on this podcast.
The funniest bit is what's going to happen is when they start doing that and it ends up working. And so the Earth starts cooling down a little bit, and we stop getting all these, like, horrible hurricanes every 5 seconds. What'll end up happening is, like, some Alex Jonesy type will start saying, they're killing us with chemtrails, and they're making up about the global warming, and everybody knows that's made up. And then before you know it, like, they stop doing it because of some fucking cockeyed bullshit, and then we actually do die.
Yeah, like the head of Mitch McConnell. He starts bitching about the deficit.
The severed head, like the fucking Knights Templar worshipped in old days.
Yeah. I think the beauty with this plan, though, Dan, is, like, if you're the company that is in charge of this drone spraying shit, you're never going to let this stop.
Oh, yeah.
This is where corporate greed could help humanity.
Yeah. These are that's the neoliberal solution to climate change at this point.
Well, let's do it, baby.
Because everything else seems... Yeah. Completely impossible at this point.
No one's gonna change any. Like, that's the no one's gonna change shit.
That's the funny, that one story that was like, well, it turns out like 90% or like 70% of all carbon emissions are caused by like 70 companies in the entire world.
Yeah,
and
it's well, like
still.
Well, like also like meanwhile, like over here in America, to an extent, like Europe. We're trying to change stuff. Like, what are they doing in China and Korea?
They're doing nothing.
Like, nothing. And like, they're one of the nothing. Yeah, and they're literally like the bigger issue there.
China literally has double the emissions we do. And and think about how hoggish and sloppy and wasteful that we are.
Yeah.
And so they're still double.
Yeah, and let alone India on top of that. Somehow, like, they're not going to fix it. Like, this is the best solution. I think for the whole thing, because, like, China ain't going to change shit. They don't care. Because they're, like, they're kind of nihilist like myself here. Maybe they want humanity to stop. Because when you live around, like, a billion-plus people, do you really want to keep this going? Probably not.
And there's also the long track record of, like, if you look at, like, the Soviet Union and the environmental disasters that happened in their days, it's like, when you get these, like, totalitarian... Well, they're not exactly whatever the fuck China is now, because they're not communist. I don't know.
What they're just China. If you view China's communist or capitalist, they're not. They're both somehow. Okay, like because like China kind of gets that.
They're like a directly run government that runs business. It's weird.
They're fascist. They're like a weird fascism thing. That's what they are essentially.
Kinda. But even hey, not.
I was just listening to a great podcast. Well, this episode, it is a great podcast, Stuff You Should Know. About, have you ever heard about, like, Mao's underground bunker he was trying to build in Beijing?
No.
When, like, relations got bad with the USSR? Well, essentially, like, everyone in Beijing had to go work on this underground tunnel. Like, they say, like, kids were like, yeah, we got off of school, got home, and then went to go, like, dig. Like
there's a long tradition of that in China.
But the thing was, like, it was a benefit for everybody. It's like the USSR attacked them, the whole city of Beijing, in theory, would go to the bunker. They ended up only building enough space for about 300,000 people. But the bunker's, like, still active. There are some people who just live there because it's, like, free. And, like, a lot of immigrants, mostly, and stuff like that. But Also, like, China would give, like, foreigners tours of it for a long time. They wouldn't let any Chinese people go there. But if you were, like, an American, you could, like, pay 15 whatever. And just go check out the bunker. So
there's a I watched a documentary recently about China that made the argument that, like, the Great Wall of China did more damage to Chinese political stability than anything they've ever done. Because the original Great Wall, which almost none of the original Great Wall is still standing. There's, like, one little segment. But it costs them, like, hundreds of thousands of lives building it. And it didn't do jack shit. Like the Mongolians just went around it. Like, it didn't do anything. And then in the I think in the 16th or the 15th century, they rebuilt it. And the wall as you see it today is what they rebuilt in the 15th or 16th century. And that bankrupted the government, which led to a civil war, which ended up putting them in the weakened state where, you know, in the 1900s, Europe was able to come in and colonize it. Like, that they never fully recovered from once they went into that spiral of, like, never-ending civil war. All because they bankrupted themselves rebuilding a wall for no reason other than they thought, like, religiously, having the wall would, like, restore them.
Yeah.
Their feng shui or whatever the fuck. Well, so it's, you know, it's very good.
Yeah. Speaking of very good, I saw, Dan, a little film last night. A little piece of cinema. I like to call Venom.
Jesus.
And it fucking ruled. Now here's
There's
my
no
suggestion.
Way.
Here's my
There's
suggestion.
No way.
If you go to this movie though, I did about 3 shots of Jameson in 30 minutes and had like 2 beers. That's the best state of mind to go in. Don't go to this movie sober, because it'd be shit. But if you go in kind of drunk, where like you can ignore Tom Hardy's dumb accent and some of the other shit, it's really
good.
Or
has he got one of those strange American accents that you only get from English actors?
Well, it's a little more New York. Like, I'm in San Fran.
Hey, I'm walking over here. Yeah.
But Dan, the villain is basically Elon Musk. So, like, that fucking ruled, and it's kind of has, like, some weird left-wing messaging. So, like, I was a fan of it. And, like, I kind of liked the way they did the Venom and Tom Hardy thing. Like, it was dumb. But if this movie came out in, like, 2005, it'd be the best superhero movie ever. And I'd honestly, it's probably, like, the second best one this year.
There's no way.
I mean, I thought it was probably better than Ant-Man.
It couldn't have
Deadpool
been.
2.
I refuse to believe that.
I had a lot of fun. I gave it a final rating. Let's go with, like, a 77 out of 100.
What are you, fucking no. Human Rotten Tomatoes?
No, that's just what I gave it. That was my review. And I quite enjoyed the film. I had a good time. There's now, mind you, the next film I go to see is probably Star is Born. That'll probably be like a 97. So just
kind of. And that's a man of eclectic tastes, where you can be in the middle of that fucking weird at the strangest internet flame war between two movies I've ever heard of.
We're like both. And that's
dumbass Venom fans. I'm just saying.
I'm just this a guy, Dan, who likes the movies.
Very stupid Venom fans.
And I
love to pump iron.
I think
very stupid Venom fans who love to go to the gym and pump iron. The fucking reviews are coming from these Star is Born fags who just don't want us to get to. Who just don't want us to get good movies.
Dan, I suggest you hop on your canoe and paddle on down to the movie theater and check out Venom. And
I'll catch that one on Blu-ray. I don't think that's a theater.
No, I think it might be better in the cinema with the full experience.
Did you hear about the, first of all, tragedy, like 30 people died in New York in a limo crash. But did you hear what the friend of one of the dead people said about his death?
No.
He's like, yeah, we used to pump iron. We used to go to the gym every day. And, you know, I just know he's up there in heaven doing curls.
Hell yeah.
With St. Peter pumping that heaven iron.
You know,
all I could think of is these people are like Felix Biederman characters who have somehow wound up in this major story.
Dan, just quick note, I'm watching the Hawks preseason game. Trae Young, kid can pass. Tell me.
Against preseason competition, he sure can.
Well, he's a rookie, so like he's going to suck anyway. At least he looks good so far. That's all you can really ask. In front of, I believe, maybe 1,000 people in the Georgia Tech Arena. That's where the Hawks play their preseason. They don't even let them use Phillips. Because Phillips is being redone. But usually it's like, we have, concerts and shit.
We have things people want to see.
Yeah. But, a lot of teams don't. The Lakers and Warriors, I think, are playing in Vegas this week. And then, the Warriors played in Seattle, a couple of days ago. So, teams just kind of move around for preseason. And, I think that's the best way to do preseason. Just kind of put it on the road.
You think, and I know Kevin Durant would probably end up wanting, but if they get another team in Seattle, think Kevin Durant would want to go be the centerpiece of that team?
Because it wouldn't happen this year. So, probably not. But I could see, in 5 years, let's say there's a Sonics team.
When he's washed up and it's like,
it's his career there. I think that'd be a fun way to end it.
I agree.
And I think, other thing too is he would be beloved in Seattle, old man Durant. And probably would still be really good because, Durant's not a guy who needs his athleticism to be good at this point. He's just a pretty smart player. And it'd be a good, let's say the Sonics happen in 5 years. Durant'd be what? 35, 38-ish. Probably off his max deal he's going to get this summer. I think it'd be a fun attraction for, a shitty team.
I want to do it. Let's make it happen.
Why not?
Let's make this happen.
Yeah. But let's hop in. Last week, Dan, I did not wake up in time to watch the Red River Shootout because I stayed up till 9 in the morning watching Super Card Showdown.
That was
WWE.
Something you shouldn't have done.
I saw the greatest match I've ever seen.
There's no way that's true.
Best.
That match ruled. That match went on for 7 hours.
Cannot wait for Vision 2030 presents Crown Jewel, with DX
and now with more crimes against humanity.
Yes, people get mad about that, but
that is a perfectly legitimate thing to get mad at.
Oh, I agree, but I bet some of those people's favorite things go to Israel.
Fair enough, but they did just straight up murder a journalist.
America, Dan, who probably
cut his body into little pizzas.
How many human rights violations are committed in America just every day? In our hometowns, even. So who are we to thumb our noses at Saudi Arabia? We can't even not have innocent people killed here.
That's some strong whataboutism. I approve.
Did Saudi Arabia drop a nuke on Japan? Only one country has dropped an atomic bomb and killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people, Dan.
Well.
That's the truth. You can say, they funded 9/11. Well, you know what?
You kind of did.
You kind of did
that.
Too, indirectly.
You could say that. You could say that, and it'd be true, because that's
Dan,
what happened.
Did we not? Did the U.S. also not fund the Taliban at one point? So did we fund 9/11? Indirectly, yes.
I mean, the Taliban didn't actually do anything to us.
Al-Qaeda.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Well, same thing, right?
Fair enough.
What was Al-Qaeda? They were like
Al-Qaeda was just some terrorist group that was that Taliban.
Okay, I thought the Taliban was like the NWA, and Al-Qaeda was like the Georgia Championship.
Al-Qaeda were a group of religious fundamentalists who ran Afghanistan. Okay. But kind of in this loose way where it's each individual warlord agreed to they were more afraid of the Taliban than they were crossing them. But they would still be allowed to run their own little individual fiefdoms as long as they didn't cross the Taliban on the main shit that the Taliban told them to do.
Yeah.
And then the Taliban let Al-Qaeda operate along the border as a home base between Afghanistan and Pakistan as hey, here's a thank you for helping us fight the Soviets. You get to stay here if you need to.
Yeah. Wait, that's my way of indirectly getting to this, man. That was the Red River Shootout. Heard it was a hell of a game. Sad admit.
I mean, it would have been a better one if Texas didn't give up, three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and let their whole Texas is back, momentum sort of fall apart on them.
Yeah.
It would have been better for them if they had held their lead.
Well, Dan, so let's cut to the real question here. Is Texas back, or is Texas back?
I would say...
All caps or not?
I would say, before I start making any proclaimments, any proclamations about, because the secret of the Red River mass shooting,
the Red is the Red Redemption to River Red Rocket Shootout, sponsored by
Menon. The big secret, the big secret of this rivalry is that it doesn't actually matter, because a random team will win it and then not win the conference on a regular basis. Like, we've seen Texas win this game a few times, and it looked like, oh man, Texas is back, and it's kind of like the Southwestern version of Notre Dame Michigan, which is another completely inconsequential rivalry, because they both happened too early in the season for you to really know what both teams are going to end up being. And, but, you know, by the time you get to the end of the year, a lot of times, like, Texas will be shit, even though they upset Oklahoma or whatever. Plus, it's a weird environment because it's always at a neutral site. It's always in Dallas, which is, you know, pretty much halfway between both schools. It's always at the county fair. Like, because of all that shit, that game ends up not really telling you as much as you think it would, you know, going into the year.
Well,
and so,
here's my thing, man. You know, Texas probably, do they play West Virginia this year?
Yeah, that's the thing. How dare you forget the Big 12's gimmick? How dare you forget the entire Big 12's gimmick of we play everybody.
Okay.
No games off.
Okay. I mean, West Virginia's probably better than Texas, right?
I mean, probably.
But this leads to another thing. Is the Big 12 the best conference in football?
The answer is the
best,
SEC.
Maybe not on the top, but
the answer is the SEC.
Well, from top to bottom, though, are they more consistent?
No, because you're forgetting Kansas and Kansas State are in this conference.
Are those teams worse than, say, like Tennessee and what, Ole Miss?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, they are.
Or Arkansas?
Kansas is hell yeah. Arkansas put 30 some points up on Alabama.
Well,
if Arkansas played Kansas, they beat them by 60-20.
Maybe it's because, like, when you look at, like, bottom 25 call, like, or one in particular, there's no Big 12 team in Tom Brady's bottom 25. There's a
they
team
should
in every
be.
Other conference.
Kansas State should be.
But is that okay? This point, though, is the Big 12 that I mean, it's clearly better than the Pac-12, right?
Probably, yeah.
It's probably better than the ACC.
It's definitely better than the ACC.
And it's probably closer than you think with the Big 10.
It is not as good on top as the Big 10, no. There's more elite teams.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone as good as, say, Ohio State.
There's nobody in that. I don't think Oklahoma's as good this year as Penn State. I don't think they're as good this year as Michigan. Because their defense is so putrid.
Well, not anymore, because that's the other big story from this game. Mark Stoops. He's
Mike
out of there.
Stoops. Mike Stoops.
Sorry. So there's no more Stoopses in Oklahoma. Didn't we kind of predict this last year?
We did. And the guy who I told you was going to get that job when they fired him got the job, Ruffin McNeil. Here's the weird thing about that story. Lincoln Riley didn't fire him. The firing came from over the coach's head. He was fired by the president of the school. Because boosters went to the president of the fucking school and said, you've got to get rid of this defensive coach. And I can't stress enough about how fucking weird that is. That a football coaching, assistant coaching decision was made by the president of the college. Not the athletic director. The president weighed in on who got to be and who shouldn't be the head coach.
Well, with some of that, maybe some aligning of the shuffling of the blame. Like, how do we know, did Lincoln Riley really want to keep Stoops around?
That is definitely a thing to see. That is definitely an aspect that he was feeling a lot of loyalty to Bob.
Riley stood up and said, we're not firing him. They probably wouldn't have done it. You got to trust. I mean, Lincoln Riley got you to the playoffs.
I mean, you say that, but that's what I'm coming to, is that if they actually went over Lincoln Riley's head to make this firing, There's been a lot of NFL teams talking about Lincoln Riley this year. And you look around the NFL, what are the two offenses that are tearing up the league? Kansas City and L.A. What two teams borrow the most shit from what the air raid teams like Lincoln, what Lincoln Riley's doing at Oklahoma?
So you're Kansas saying, City. Let's say the Texans.
He leaves tomorrow. He leaves tomorrow.
Well, let's say they fire Bill O'Brien. Wouldn't you love to work with a guy like Deshaun Watson? Let's say Cleveland fires Hugh Jackson. They probably won't.
I mean, that's the one I was going to say. I think they will because he's had such a weird relationship with the general manager.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that happen.
Cleveland could make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to fire their coach to make the playoffs.
Dude, this is Cleveland. They fire coaches like halfway through their first year.
Well, they didn't fire this guy, and he won one game in 2 years.
Yeah, because everybody was on his ass for firing coaches after 1 year, so he let this guy stay for a couple of years.
And like, you're rebuilding, so why not just keep one guy around? Because you say but like,
he's had so much fights with the general manager, and the general manager is the one who drafted Baker, and it seemed like the coach didn't really want to. He wanted to go with Tyrod Taylor, and boy, that looks like a bad decision. And it just... You can't tell me that, Hugh Jackson's going to get the most out of Baker.
Baker's been good, but, they were two missed field goals away from, being undefeated.
But you just can't tell me that Hugh Jackson's the guy who's going to get the most out of Baker Mayfield. You can't.
No, I don't think that at all, but, it's not like Tyrod was that bad.
He was pretty bad, dude.
But they hit two field goals, like I said, undefeated going into that Raiders game.
But he threw a lot of interceptions.
Some of that's on Tyrod. I mean, I think Baker's clearly better, but I just don't like to shit on Taylor.
I mean, Taylor's better than the guys at the team that let him go decided to go with. Yes. That's
for sure. Dare you insult. I mean, he's probably better than Bortles.
Of course, he's better than Bortles.
Who looked awful.
I'm better than Bortles.
He made Kansas City's defense look like the Rams' defense. I don't know if you called any of that game, Dan, but that was the most disappointing, hyped up game of the year. I think
I did not see that game because I was playing golf. Because I have now ascended to a new level of caucasity.
Oh wow! I'm not going to talk golf on this show.
I'm now a golf boy. When people see me walking around, they go, "Ooh, there goes the golf boy."
Do you have the
golf
hat? Boy. Do you have the hat and all that?
I have a visor.
Ooh, wow! Good for you. Are you walking or driving the cart?
I'm driving the cart because I'm Caucasian.
It's a lot of white guys say to walk. It's more gritty to walk.
No, I'm soft.
That's where you're wrong. The Caucasian move is to walk. Until you're old. Well,
we're talking about golf. Good. There is no other move aside from the Caucasian move.
Only the lazy colored people drive the cart, Dan. Everyone.
This is not true at all.
Like that disabled guy.
The golf move is just be like a perfectly round sphere. And you get out of your cart just long enough to hit a tee shot 100 yards into a tree. And then get back into your golf cart and then just drop the ball 200 yards up the fairway. And just pretend that first shot never happened.
Well, maybe, Dan, you should stay in and watch the NFL instead of playing golf like the rest of the world. Because, baby, NFL ratings, they're up. Have you seen this?
Have you heard about this?
Have you heard this? About 7 to 17% in some cases.
What are the demographics on that, youth-wise?
I'm not sure. I saw the income one where it was up 7% in households over 105K and down in working class households by about 2%.
So the rubes who actually buy that shit went away.
Well, are the rubes are just cutting the cable.
Wouldn't matter. It's broadcast TV.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was for Monday Night Football or something. I can't remember. Okay. But even if you're cutting the cord, you watch that over... Most of the time you're watching that on your streaming service.
No, that's the misnomer about a lot of cord cutting. Because there's a huge percentage of cord cutters are just I guess I just won't have TV now.
Yeah, I think there's... And, you don't really... With Netflix, you don't need it.
And it's they're not even watching Netflix. They're not subscribing to something. They're just I guess I'm poor. We're going to watch YouTube. If it's not on YouTube, I guess we're not watching it.
Anyway, though, I think the real reason is, there's just a lot of good quarterbacks again. Wild.
Yeah, and they made the rules even slacker.
Yeah.
Which means like there's a lot of defensive linemen and linebackers rushing the quarterback who get to the quarterback and they go, oh wait, what am I supposed to do again? I literally can't remember.
Well, I think the Onion had a story where they're supposed to try to peacefully get them to lay down
and put a pillow behind their head.
But just a quick transition back to college football. Anything else from last week that you like? There was some law, like LSU losing. I think all of it, like in the SEC, there was kind of a shakeup. The whole spectrum. Did anything really of significance happen last week?
When is Auburn, like, I just want to say this about Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm.
The two best quarterbacks he's ever coached in his offense. One of them was Cam Newton, who had a cannon, but in college especially, could not hit the broad side of the barn.
Yeah.
But he could run like a goddamn deer.
Yeah.
The other one was a converted defensive back who could not throw at all. Like, unless the guy was wide open and he just had to get it, like, somewhere around him, Nick Marshall. Yeah. Like, that's all he could do, is just get it somewhere in the vicinity. That's his two best quarterbacks who've had the two most productive offensive years in his history as a coach.
Yeah.
Why does he keep wanting to get big, stiff white boys who can't run the ball?
I have no idea. It's like,
I don't.
I mean, there are even some Auburn fans clamoring for Sidham to get benched. And, I mean, if you're Auburn, I probably wouldn't do it, but, like, you kind of waste a redshirt year for one of your freshman QBs and just put him in there. See what happens.
And I just.
Like, is everybody's pointing to the Gatewood kid from Florida who's. He looked good on film, looked a lot like Cam Newton, but way bigger than everyone he played against, but, like, he was playing in a pretty high division in Florida.
It just, I mean, unless you go all the way back to when, like, he was in high school and his offense was really new and unique, or if you go back to, like, when he was at Tulsa, where, again, his offense was very new and very cutting edge, and you're also playing against, you know, Conference USA defenses.
Yeah.
You cannot find me a single successful Gus Malzahn offense that didn't have a quarterback who was a running threat.
Well, I think that's the other weird thing about Stidham at Auburn. He's kind of an anomaly because, like, he was a transfer from Baylor. So, like, in theory, if Baylor could literally just keep it in their pants, he's probably still a Baylor right now.
And there's a lot of it that just seemed like Gus Malzahn got enamored with what Art Briles was doing.
Yeah.
Because they were both guys who jumped from high school. And he looked at it and saw a lot of the things that he did.
That was a really cool offense, I think. You know, like, that Baylor was a fun team to watch. It was probably
But, yeah. Like, it just seems like Gus tried to, like, he got obsessed with what Baylor was doing and just forgot that, hey, what he was doing was working pretty good, too. Like,
and what Baylor was doing, like, worked to an extent in the Big 12. Like, this is the SEC.
But they never beat anybody. They never beat anybody legit. That's the other thing that we can't forget about what Art Briles did at Baylor. Like, take all the off-the-field stuff off the set. Baylor never beat anybody who was, like, a national contender.
Yeah.
And a lot of their overall records were, like, buoyed by the fact that their out-of-conference schedule would basically be a high school from Dallas, a private college that's D3 that has no scholarships, the School of the Blind – in week 3, and then in week 4, you know, they might play, like, Sam Houston Tech. And then that would be their schedule, which is, like, that sets you up to where, one, you've got some crazy statistics at the end of the year, like, where you look at the yardage and you're like, oh, wow, they put 900 yards up on, let me check who this is, oh, Incarnate Word. I didn't even know what the hell is that? You know, they have a lot of that, and two, you can go 10-2 kind of easy if you just feast on all the mediocre and bad teams in the Big 12, beat 4 teams that are crap, and then you lose to TCU every year, you know? So I don't think those Baylor teams would have done that in the SEC. Like, they would have been 8-9 win teams in the SEC. And that's kind of what Auburn's been since they tried doing that, other than last year, which felt like a, you know, kind of a lucky year in some ways.
Yeah. I think, like, weird enamored guy with the Baylor thing. Stidham's kind of an aberration. But you look at every other quarterback, more or less they're all like athletic kind of run-first quarterbacks on the roster. I wonder if next year you see the offense kind of get back to its bread and butter.
It's just,
but as for
it's
this
just,
year...
It's just pathetic to watch a Gus Malzahn team that's like...
That runs the ball
runs for like
20
yards.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, they ran the ball 20 times against Miss State. Like, that game was like... I thought the officiating was pretty bad in that game, but I'm never one to blame the officiating. But, like, there were two missed calls that probably swung the game.
Yeah.
In that one. But, at the same time, and he should beat Miss State. Fitzgerald just ran up the middle at will because the defense was so tired by the end because the offense, I think, had, like, 11 minutes of possession in one half or something.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, hurry up and then punt, which...
Yeah.
It's a real easy way to make sure that you're, like, remember when Tuberville went to a no-huddle air raid for 1 year? Like, his last year?
Yeah.
Like, they made him hire an air raid guy because Troy had upset Alabama the year before. And so they're like, oh, you need to get an air raid guy. And so they bring in, I think it was Tony Peterson. And one, Tony Peterson's like a huge liberal, like a major, major socialist liberal. And that is obviously not what Tommy Tuberville is. So, like, immediately, as soon as the guy showed up and started explaining his offense, the entire coaching staff went, fuck this queer. And they just, like, they would just line up in the shotgun. They would run mesh a bunch of times and then just hand off and run straight up the middle. No tight ends, not even throwing the ball that much, which just meant, oh, you're just running for, like, negative yards every time you try. This is just setting downs on fire. And they would go super fast. They would no huddle, get up to the line, and then never audible, never do any of the stuff that air raid teams do, and just run straight into a pile of bodies. And that's how you end up having a 3-2 game against Mississippi State.
Yeah. And it was,
And that's what they reminded me of the other day. You know, just fruitless. There's just, how do you even think this is going to work? What are you
trying
to do?
Yeah, and that's why... It's an Auburn fan, you know, I'm just like, are they going to beat Tennessee this week?
They'll beat Tennessee.
We'll see. They may beat them, might be close, and that's even worse.
I don't think Tennessee can score points. I don't think they're capable of scoring points.
When the defense is on the field for like 45 minutes, like eventually they're just going to pass out and just run up the middle. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Really, I feel like last week nothing of major significance except Colorado kept winning, baby. So, Dan, are you ready to admit you were wrong about Colorado? Because they just beat the total leadership model.
No, I'm not willing to admit that because they should have lost to Nebraska, which is maybe the worst team in the Big Ten. And, like, if you come that close to losing to Nebraska, I'm going to look at you with side eye.
No.
They needed a really stupid pass interference penalty. And I don't mean stupid... in that the referee shouldn't have called it. I mean, like, the dumbest penalty I've ever seen a guy get. In the entirety of watching football, I've never seen a guy pick up a dumber penalty by just, like, sheer brain-dead stupidity. And that's the only reason Colorado's undefeated. So I can't.
Well, Dan, let's look ahead to next week. Let's kind of stay in the SEC. So you know what we're talking here.
Hit me.
Talking LSU, Georgia.
Georgia begins their long march to you know, their difficult schedule kicks off.
Yeah. Georgia's favored by 7.5. LSU, it looks like the magic kind of ran out last week. I think some of that too. Florida might be better than we all thought.
Dan Mullen is slowly putting something together over there.
Yeah.
It's funny what happens when you actually go out and hire the best coach you could get instead of going, I'm going to show everybody how smart I am by hiring. I'm going to show everybody how great I am by stealing away Texas's head coach in waiting. Or I'm going to show everybody how smart I am by hiring Colorado State's coach. No, just hire the guy who's been in this league for 10 years and is the most successful coach in the history of one of the SEC programs.
Or hiring the guy from, like, Saban Singh and be like, well, this is the one guy.
This is the guy who knows the plan. Like, ugh.
like not getting that. Oh, Saban's just good because like literally every good player comes to play for him.
Also, apparently Kirby Smart was the one who knew the plan, and you didn't hire Kirby Smart, so yeah. your ideas aren't going to work.
Kirby Smart also got the genius plan of, oh, go to a school that gets a lot of really good talent every year. Wild, it's a wild plan. And then, like, maybe recruit some guys on offense. Like, maybe, also just maybe get a top five quarterback every year or so.
Also, go to the place and, like, tell them, hey, if you want me to come here, you're going to have to, like, buy a lot of players for me. And give me lots of money.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So, what do we think? The Magic kind of ran out maybe for LSU, or maybe they just ran into a better team in Florida.
I think their offense just is, I mean, look, when they ran Matt Canada off because Ed Orgeron didn't like that the offense, like, actually did stuff, because Ed Orgeron thinks that you should just be able to run up the middle all the time and throw some shotgun screens and that's all you should have to do and that's your offense.
Yeah.
Like, they ran off a very creative offensive coordinator so they could hire a guy who's been a bad quarterbacks coach for 30 years. And look, this is what you got. Like, you go and you try to play one of the teams that are roughly equivalent to you in talent and they're going to beat you because they're more creative than you. I mean, when you look at Dan Mullen, they're just going to run the – I mean, Dan Mullen's a very simple man. He's just going to call inside zone read over and over again until you block it. And he's not like, he's not going to sit there and be like, well, I need to do something. I need to get him off – no, this is working. I'm going to keep doing this over and over again.
Well, I mean, they're going to run on that to George's offense, who's hasn't been that great.
That's true. I am interested to see if what Georgia can do against Dave Aranda's defense. Which, at this point, like, all this talk about Ed Orgeron and, he's got the team back on him. It's like, if Dave Aranda leaves that job to go take, I don't know, let's say Dave Aranda leaves this year and takes the
Georgia Tech job.
The Georgia Tech job. Yeah. Dave Aranda leaves and goes to Georgia Tech, or Dave Aranda leaves and goes to Purdue when Jeff Brohm leaves to go to Louisville, which we got to talk about that in a second. But yeah, you know, Dave Aranda leaves to go take a head coaching job elsewhere. Suddenly, like, they're fucked because this whole team is nothing but Dave Aranda.
Because the plan originally for the Orgeron to work was to surround him with a lot of smart people and let him just kind of be the speech giver, like what he's good at, the Ronald Reagan plan.
It was like, I'm going to be Mac Brown. And it's like, well, I mean, if you're going to be Mac Brown, you better hire somebody who can figure out how to use Vince Young. And I don't see anybody on this team's coaching staff that knows how to use Vince Young.
Yeah. But in this game, who we like? We like in Georgia -7.5?
Yeah. I just think LSU is going to be one of those early season teams where everybody gets excited. The spot that used to belong to, like, Michigan back in the day, like, especially Lloyd Carr, where they would, like, win, they'd beat Notre Dame early in the season, and it'd be like, oh, here comes Michigan, and then they would drop a game to, like, Iowa, and then get their ass kicked by Ohio State, and that's what this LSU team feels, like a team that we've overrated because of something they did early in the season, and now that they're going to start playing games that matter, it's going to be, you know, just piss out their butt.
Let's move. All of our big games this week, Dan, they're all 3:30 games.
God damn it.
Great scheduling, TV. Nailed it.
Like, and, I mean, it's one thing when they all put everything at primetime, which is irritating, but at least I kind of get it. Because, like, well, you want to put your best game on at primetime. But when you're putting all your best games on at 3:30, now you're just
fucking. Oh, I think it's because of baseball.
Oh, there's. College football's afraid of baseball? I don't buy that.
Well, that's why, like, well, they probably thought it'd be, like, Yankees Red Sox or something. Which did, like, what, 8 million or something?
Well, it couldn't have been Yankee Red Sox. It was in the AL.
No, in the playoff. I mean, the World Series isn't this.
Didn't the Yankees Red Sox just play a series?
Yeah, they did. But at the time, they probably thought this might have gone another, if you're Fox or whomever's showing it. Because I'm assuming that's why, I mean, I'm assuming Michigan State, I'm sorry, Washington, Oregon's on Fox.
That might have been because those West Coast teams have been bitching like a storm about all their games being on at night.
Well, maybe it was just, like, a perfect alignment here, too. So, anyway, well, let's jump to that game. Oh, my pick on that one? Give me LSU plus 7.5. I don't believe in Georgia. Prove it. Beat LSU in Baton Rouge at 3:30. It's one of the hardest places to play in football. In the
West. No, I mean, not when they're bad. And it's a pretty easy place to play when they're mediocre.
Well, what's the weather going to be like in Baton Rouge? That's going to be interesting.
The hurricane's not going to be anywhere near them.
Well, it's not going to send, like, some rain or something out there?
I don't think so. I think there's, like, a cold front that's, like, basically trapping it all in.
Well, there you go. So maybe it's cold, and that's to Georgia's advantage. We'll find out. But give me LSU. But next up, let's talk Washington, Oregon. Washington's favored by 3. Give me that all day. I think Washington is going to destroy Oregon.
Georgia's getting that again.
Washington, Oregon. Washington favored minus 3.
Okay, but okay, it's in Seattle, though.
No, it's in Oregon.
Give me Oregon. I think Washington been pretenders. I think they're ready to get got.
Was Oregon good enough? I mean, they were good enough to beat Stanford, but I don't said it last week. I don't think Stanford's that good.
But I think they're good enough to get them at home. Also,
are they good enough to get past that line? I mean, that line for Washington's got a pretty good defense. I mean, they're holding folks to 20 points. Because
we based a lot of that on what they did to Auburn, and that's suddenly
I'm basing it on what they did to BYU, Arizona State, everyone they've run into thus far.
Bad team, mediocre team.
Well, is Oregon a good team?
Oregon's a good team. I wouldn't call them a great team. They're certainly a lot better than BYU. They're certainly a lot better than Arizona State.
Are they?
Arizona State had to fire their coach. Of course they're better than them.
Arizona State's yet to fire Herm Edwards, good sir.
Well, I mean, they fired Todd Graham. So, like, it's the first year with a – they got their coach got fired after last season for a reason. It's not a great team.
Yeah. I don't know. Oregon, prove it. Give me Washington. Until they don't do it, keep giving them – I'm gonna keep taking
them. I'm taking the home team. Give me them wild boys at Altson. Altson Zoo. It's gonna be full with mangy ducks.
Let's jump.
You have at zoos.
Let's jump to the big game, the night game. Wisconsin at Michigan. Michigan minus 8. Give me Wisconsin here.
That's crazy. Give me Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that's not even Michigan. Like, I think this is going to be like a 3-point game.
I mean, it's just like Michigan. This is the kind of game, and look, I'm not one of the people, and obviously I'm a Harbaugh defender, and I'll say all the time that a lot of the people who are always hard on what Harbaugh's done there, and always bringing up his record against rivals, and always trying to knock down what he's done. One, I think that's a lot of people who are pissed off that Michigan suddenly started recruiting good players out of Florida. And that makes them mad, and they want to try to get him fired because they don't like him coming down. Because, frankly, Michigan has proven to be a better brand in the state of Florida than a lot of shitty SEC schools. Right now, there's a lot of kids who'd rather go to Michigan and play for Jim Harbaugh than go to Florida State or Florida,
or even
as
Miami.
We've seen out of the last few years, and especially Miami because they've had problems now for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's has a lot to do with, like, the constant, ooh, Jim Harbaugh, is he on the hot seat? And I also think it's rooted in a lot of people who are just either obtuse, like being willfully obtuse, or just stupid and don't know how much of a disaster Michigan was before he got hired there. But at some point, he does need to win one of these games. Like, no, Wisconsin's not a rival, and they don't play them as often, but Wisconsin's one of the measuring stick teams. They win the Big Ten West almost every year.
Yeah.
They come close in a couple of Big Ten championship games. If Michigan is where they think if Michigan is a top five team, truly a top five team like S&P says they are, they need to at some point win one of these. They need to beat a Wisconsin. Because if they can't beat Wisconsin, they're not beating Ohio State. If they can't beat Wisconsin, you're not going to be beating Penn State. That's the reality. And if they... You know, if you lose to Michigan State this year's Michigan State, then fuck me. Like, you need to hire a voodoo queen to come do something to unhex your ass.
Yeah.
If you lose to this year's Michigan State team.
I'm interested in this game for a lot of reasons, mainly because it's the only good night game. But I think it's going to be like a Cam Michigan kind of run against like a pretty good front seven. And, I mean, Cam Wisconsin run against a pretty good front seven in Michigan. You know? There's a lot of interesting storylines here, I think.
Yeah. And I just want to see... I want to see Michigan do it. Like, I just want to see them go out there and
be and I want to see Michigan fail.
Well, if they fail, then that's... I mean, what I'm saying, it's not like I'm rooting for Michigan. It's more like, I want to see them go out there and beat a good team before I finally go, all right, they've got it. I got to see them prove this at some point.
All right. Well, Dan, let's jump into some picks. Ready for this?
Hit me.
All right. Well, let's start with Friday. And it's kind of the only interesting game on Friday, I think, kind of. Arizona, Utah. Utah minus 13.5. Does Arizona get it together? Ever?
No. This is a bad marriage of offensive scheme and star player. They've completely ruined Tate by trying to turn him into Johnny Manziel. He's not Johnny Manziel. Noel Mazzone, if you look at his track record, he hasn't coached a high-level quarterback in college. Probably since, what's the big tall guy that everybody always talks about how tall he is in the NFL? And his whole gimmick is look how tall he is.
Brock Urschweiler?
Yeah, that was the last guy he coached at college who you looked at and went, huh, yeah, he did pretty good. And, you know, I mean, Noel Mazzone's big claim to fame is he was Philip Rivers' offensive coordinator. Philip Rivers is 100 years old. That's how long it's been.
Well, and Rivers has been pretty consistent through multiple coordinators. Rivers is probably just really good at football.
Well, his college offensive coordinator as a sophomore on, because his freshman year he had Norm Chow. But, you know, his sophomore year throughout his, until he graduated from
Even in the pros, he's had multiple coordinators and been consistent. Like, Philip Rivers is just good. He's not great. He's probably borderline Hall of Famer, but.
He's not borderline. He's a fucking first ballot.
Maybe in your book. Then Matt Ryan's first ballot.
No. Yeah. Matt Ryan is not even, like, fit to scratch Philip Rivers' butt.
I think Ryan has better numbers.
Who gives a shit? He's had a better team almost his entire career.
Yeah, so is Rivers. I mean, Rivers had LaDainian Tomlinson, and Matt Ryan won an MVP.
He had, like, LaDainian Tomlinson's last few years.
He also
like,
had before Antonio his body Gates. Fell apart. Rivers has had very good teams around
him. He's had one great player. He's had one great receiver.
He's had good teams
Name a wide receiver that's ever played for San Diego.
Malcolm Kelly.
Oh, boy. What a legend.
Well, no, he hasn't been. Ryan put up those numbers without great wide. I mean, with Roddy White was his guy.
Roddy White's a fucking all pro player.
Well, just saying. Who David Boston.
Oh, boy.
I used to think Ryan's Boston. Better than Rivers. Sorry. I mean,
He's not.
He is. His numbers are better. That's all he
does. Because
and his advanced metrics are better.
Whatever. They're not.
Philip Rivers is for your team. You don't hear Phillip me being Rivers, biased here.
Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer who would have like 5 Super Bowls if the Eli Rivers trade never happens.
Oh yeah, well, I mean a lot of guys. I mean,
if he got the Giants, if he got to play for those Giants teams, like he would have 17 Super Bowls by now.
I mean, like if Aaron Rodgers ended up on those teams, like he'd have more rings than Brady right now. Because he just would have won it.
Like, and like, think about how many years of Philip Rivers' career was wasted with North Turner being his head coach.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Ruled. Oh, maybe that's what he gets for having so many kids.
Hey, he's just building up a small army for when global climate change happens.
Yes.
And they can, like,
there's no way Philip Rivers believes in climate change.
I don't know, maybe.
No way.
I mean, there's like those religious climate change believers who are like, yeah, climate change is part of
but
the
apocalypse.
But he
lives in San Diego.
Does he? I thought he lived in like Florida.
No. He drives to L.A. for practice to keep his family in San Diego.
That's very funny.
Yeah, he doesn't drive. Someone drives him and he just sits in the back and watches film. Which is actually a great use of your time. Like, yeah, he probably studies more than most quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, hey, L.A. traffic, you'd take the 5
folks,
down to La Cienega.
Folks, let's move on. Noon. We got Minnesota at Ohio State. Ohio State's favored by 29.5.
Well, Minnesota, shouldn't they have made a little bit of noise by now with their coach?
Yeah, this isn't – this boat is not – it's not doing a whole
lot. Not rowing. Maybe get a motor.
This boat seems to have, like, a hole in it.
Yeah. Because, like, Minnesota – I'm not saying, like, they should have, you know, been playing for a Big Ten title, but, like, maybe an upset or something, right?
They look like they should be, like, they're, like, showing some kind.
Yeah, like, we should be looking at Minnesota and thinking this is maybe a 7-win team this year, right?
Yeah, and they're not.
They're not. they're not. They're not really even, like, beating Indiana. They may have beaten Indiana, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, but you wouldn't be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Do they make some noise here? Does Ohio State maybe come out a little bit sleepy, or... Kind of looks like Ohio State's kind of figured it out.
Yeah, they're not.
I mean, last week, quarterback takes big hits, responds well.
Well, I don't think their quarterback can stand a whole lot of pressure, but Minnesota's not going to put any on him, so what's it going to matter? Like, if you don't get a lot of pressure on him, he's just going to eat you alive.
Yeah, give me Ohio State to keep rolling here.
Yeah, I'll you can have those points. I don't need them.
Florida at Vandy. Florida's favored by a touchdown. Is this a weird? This feels like an upset. I don't know why.
There's
gonna be like a noon upset this week. I'm not sure, but that could be it.
Everybody, including me in the past, has gotten suckered into the, hey, Vanderbilt might have something. Yeah. And it's because Derek Mason is a guy who's really engaging. And if you talk to him or you hear him talk, you're like, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. And then his teams are always shitty.
Yeah.
And I think the reason is it's not Derek Mason's fault. They just cannot compete with SEC teams with the budget they're given and the way that their program looks at football, which is probably a healthier way to look at it. I'm not criticizing Vanderbilt. They're education first. They are a college.
Yeah.
And I just wish
Vanderbilt, though, would like try to be a little bit better at, say, basketball.
Vanderbilt just looks at football as like this is looks at sports as in we belong to this thing so that we can get TV money from this conference that we can then use to buy a new laboratory or whatever. That's what they see sports.
So we can create more Clay Travis's underneath.
Yeah, they're working in a lab, you might say, to make more Clay Travis's.
Give me.
Did
Florida.
You see where Clay Travis was was saying that the libs? Liberal New York book? Times caused him to
when
not...
like half the books on that list are like from like Ann Coulter.
Yeah, when you look at like the New York Times nonfiction section, it's literally like the McElroy brothers and then right wing authors.
Yeah, and then he was like, "Well, if we were fiction," and it's like, "Well, you didn't write a fucking fiction."
you realize how much harder it is to write a fiction book than nonfiction? Like you're literally a guy with a law degree from Vanderbilt whose dad was a judge. And yet you couldn't make it in a legal career. Think about how fucking lazy and stupid you have to be
when you're somehow like more disdained or disgusted by like or what's the word I'm looking for? When you're hated more than like the Barstool guy, that kind of says something.
Don't you think the Barstool guy has moved above him just because it seems like Clay Travis has now become like a non-entity that nobody
No, well, I think about. some of it's that's what I mean, just a non-entity, like he doesn't matter. Like everyone's
like people,
Alex Jones.
Like people get on the Barstool guy just because it's like, oh, he seems to matter right now. Whereas like Clay Travis is literally just
nobody. Well, I think like the Bart, as much as I don't like him, like there is a certain charm, I think.
There's
a certain charm to Barstool than there is with anything associated.
Yeah, that's one of those things where he's hired a bunch of people to be charming.
Yeah, and like, I mean, it's a good staff. Like I said, if you got him out of Barstool, that would be the best sports site. Because they
Probably.
Handle, I think they handle sports in a great way. Where like, they handle sports as like, as it's an entertainment product, which like a lot of outlets kind of refuse to do. I respect that. But, like, same time, I also, like, love The Athletic. You know, like, there's a place in the world for Barstool, especially with, like, Deadspin kind of gone. Like, Deadspin's awful now. It sucks.
They don't ever seem to have many articles on anymore. Like, yeah. They don't have any staff. I don't know.
Well, I heard they're going to be sold.
They are. Like,
someone's going to buy them, and then it'll be a legacy brand.
Well, yeah, Univision's almost bankrupt because it's a terrible, poorly run company. I mean, that's the issue. They got bought by imbeciles who basically ran off anybody who knew what they were doing.
Speaking of terrible and poorly run, Nebraska at Northwestern, Nebraska +4. Does it happen this week?
No, not against Northwestern.
You think they're Nebraska goes winless?
Yeah, Northwestern's too fundamentally sound. They do an excellent job of blowing up your run game with very aggressive linebackers who flow to the run. And this Nebraska team just looks – I mean, these guys, it's easy to tell why they've been – I mean, I don't know what Nebraska's been doing other than maybe they were doing that Florida thing where you couldn't get recruits, so you just took the guys who had decent talent who everybody else had character issues with. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But these guys have problems, man.
They suck. Yeah, give me Northwestern here, but
I mean, when you're cheering on the sideline when you're down by like 40, that's always a red flag.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be happy when you're getting your ass kicked like that.
Speaking of programs with red flags, Tennessee at Auburn. Auburn favored by 15.
Look, this is a perfect bounce back because, yeah, they lost to Mississippi State, but Mississippi State's actually good.
Well, Fitzgerald's like... Fitzgerald's a good quarterback, you know, a good college quarterback.
He's a good option quarterback.
Yeah.
If you try to use him to like throw the ball.
Yeah. And they used him in the option a lot last week.
Yeah, they ran for like 350 yards last week.
Like, I think he had like 150 yards just up the middle. It was wild.
Like, he just kept running inverted veer over.
But a lot of that was because the defense was so tight. Like, when you have that kind of possession advantage, like, of course. You're going to run all over a team. No matter how, I mean, Auburn's defense has proven to be pretty good, but not when they're playing 70% of the game. No defense. Alabama couldn't do that.
Alabama's not even a top 30 defense so far this year.
Well,
now, part of that is because they've been garbage
time. I don't know how good that defense is yet. Same problem we have with Georgia. We still know with Alabama. Until they probably play LSU, we're not going to know a lot.
And even then, I'm not sure. We'll learn a lot from the LSU game.
Yeah, because, like, who's their out-of-conference? Was, like, Missouri?
Oh, Louisville.
No, not their out-of-conference. They're out-of-division. Because they play Tennessee every year. Well, they play they get two.
Oh, yeah, the rotating one. I'm not sure.
Can't remember. But it ain't Florida or Georgia. So probably wasn't a very good team.
Hey, how dare you say that when it might be South Carolina?
Give... Over-under on this game is 47. Give me the under. That's what I like here.
Yeah, I can see that.
Next up, we're gonna kind of skip ahead. Not a lot of intro. Okay, about this one. Pittsburgh +21 at Notre Dame. Lock it up, Dan. Give me Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh might upset Notre Dame this week. I'm feeling it.
That was a fun thing to joke about. I'm not really feeling it anymore. I'm just not
sold on Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm less sold on Pitt. Mm. I mean, I know they beat Syracuse last week, but that's Syracuse.
Syracuse will almost beat Clemson.
I don't know what it is about Clemson and Syracuse, but like they just know something.
It's because they both wear orange. Maybe orange is like a neutralizing effect. Because like Crimson's a kind of... Like an orangish red, right?
No.
That's what Alabama beats. Yeah.
No, it's like a darker red. It's like a redder red.
Not a color expert here. Give me Pitt catching 21.
Give me Notre Dame. Pitt's bad. Pitt's a bad team. They're not good at football.
How about this one? Texas -14 hosting Baylor. Who, I think Baylor looked good last week, right?
I mean, they've definitely done better than anybody thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. I'm not sure they're any good, but they're better than you think they would be.
Well, are you taking them to not lose by two touchdowns? This feels like a Texas letdown. Maybe not a loss, but a... This, like, classic Texas would be to, like, win this game by three. I think if they come out and blow them out, then, like, maybe Texas is back. Maybe.
I'm just a big believer in Texas being back, though.
Yeah, well, this is from a gambling standpoint, this is, like, an interesting, is Texas back? To, like, covering big, not big, but bigger spreads. I'm not touching this one. I don't know enough about Texas. It's like, yeah. This team still lost to Maryland.
This is a wait and see.
Yeah. How about this one? This is always a fun one. Central Florida at Memphis. Central Florida favored by 5. Well, they kind of
Memphis has been less fun this year.
Yeah.
So. Give me Central Florida because I ain't 5? Seen anything from Memphis.
I think they win by multiple scores. Well, I guess 5 is multiple scores though, so I'm kind of right either way.
Yes.
Let's jump. Missouri catching 28 at Alabama. There's Alabama's second East team right there, Missouri.
So
over under 74.
I mean.
But
give me that. Give me the over.
Does that defense play better this week for Alabama?
I don't know. See, here's the thing. Yeah, Alabama slaughtered and they did real well, but they still didn't cover.
Nah. But maybe they do now. Maybe last week was kind of a wake up call. That's kind of my.
See, I think what's happened. I mean, one, Alabama's off. Bill Connelly made this point. This may be the greatest offense in the history of the Alabama program.
Yeah.
Like, ever. And when you look at, like, you know, Alabama in the 30s or the 20s had Don Hutson, who was the greatest player of the first 50 years of pro football. So, you know, this is a hell of an Alabama team scoring the ball. What they've been able to do is get into garbage time so early. They've been having, like, the third stringers in by, like, the third quarter.
Yeah,
and I think part of why he's doing that is so that he has an excuse to be mad. Like we gave up a pass. This is unacceptable. And it's like, well, yeah,
it's like David has to
it's a third stringer, but you know,
well, the thing with Saban is like he's like speed. If his blood pressure gets under a certain amount, he explodes. So like he always has to fuck things to get mad about.
He's also like really into Puas. So like he's real big on like negging. He's real big. He has never gotten to the chapter on peacocking. It's only the chapter on negging.
Give me the under. I think Alabama wins this like 35-0.
No, they're gonna score 50. They're gonna score 50 points on Missouri.
But it's 70. Is Missouri gonna?
I mean, they're gonna give up. 20? They could give up 25 to Drew Locke. Is Drew Locke healthy?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think Missouri's. I think this is the wrong week for this. This was last week, sure. I just think that defense is going to play better.
Give me the over. I believe in this.
Give me the under. This will be the first under Alabama hasn't covered, though, I believe, all year.
They score like 70 points a game. Christ.
Next up, West Virginia at Iowa State. West Virginia is only favored by 6.5.
Yeah, don't go into Abe's.
Is Vegas disrespecting West Virginia? Because West Virginia kind of is a playoff contender, right?
Well, like West Virginia. I mean, who's West Virginia beat so far?
Somebody.
I mean, the biggest game of the year they would have had was NC State, and it got canceled by the Hurricane.
Yeah.
So we have no idea how good either one.
Yeah, that's kind of the game we wish happened because I can't tell if either team's actually good.
Like, yeah, because, I mean, especially State. Like, West Virginia was going to be their big game early in the season to figure out who they are. Yeah. And then that game got canceled, so State literally hasn't beaten anybody. But they've played a lot of games. But, you know, well, I just don't know.
Give me West Virginia here. I'm buying into the Mountaineer hype.
You know, they're I think back Iowa State.
They're probably blowing this the last week of the season.
I think Iowa State's one of those teams that gets weirdly overrated. Like, the Ames home field advantage isn't really that much of an advantage. But somehow everybody always thinks it is. And, yeah, give me West Virginia.
How about, let's move on to this one. 10-15 in the house that Brigham Young built. Hawaii at BYU. Hawaii catching 11.5. BYU's looked awful since they lost to Washington. Does Hawaii take advantage, or do we kind of see BYU even back out?
Give me Hawaii here, especially because this game's always a bigger deal to Hawaii than it is BYU.
Yeah, and, I mean, they got creamed by you. BYU got creamed by Utah State last week. Like, just embarrassed.
Which, I mean, Utah State's probably pretty good, but yeah.
It's a BYU team that beat was like, we were talking, well, more me, is BYU a borderline playoff team at one point, if they beat Washington? Mm. And since that game, 2 weeks ago, they looked pretty bad.
Wisconsin, you mean, not Washington.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Well, they lost to Washington.
Yeah, they, that just looks like a freaky blip early in the season. Uh-huh. Or like, maybe they did something those teams weren't expecting, and once everybody else saw what they did, it was like, oh, all they do is run up the middle. Got it. Ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving Hawaii here.
Yeah,
I think one last week. Yeah. This is maybe my favorite upset pick, technically. Colorado at USC. Colorado +7. That's right. The undefeated 19th ranked Colorado is an underdog at USC.
Yeah, because they almost lost to Nebraska.
Well, give me Colorado. They're going to keep winning. They just keep winning, baby. If they're catching 7, give me that all day.
No, I mean, you're trying to get a man fired, because if that happens, he's probably a goner.
He should. I mean, USC's not that good. Sorry.
They're not.
They have no excuse not to be at this point.
Well, I mean, the excuse is that they didn't hire a very good coach.
Who is their coach? I don't even remember.
He was Sarkisian's offensive coordinator.
Okay, so in-house. Yeah.
It was an in-house continuity hire, which was weird because they weren't very good. Yeah. So I was like, oh.
Well, clear. It was just because Sark's a drunk. Not because.
Yeah, maybe
like, well,
that's
maybe
why.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, their old athletic director, who's a quarterback there in the 70s, was just like obsessed with, how can we keep the clay? How can we get the Pete Carroll years back? And it was like, well,
you know, maybe they should bring in the juice.
The juice is loose.
Bring him back, OJ Simpson, head coach.
Isn't he out of? Is he out of jail?
Yeah, he's back, baby. I don't know what he's doing, man.
Didn't he? Oh no, he didn't play with Lynn Swan. Did he play with Lynn Swan?
I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't alive, so how the fuck would I know?
I mean, you could read it. In a book.
I'm not reading about, like, 70s USC.
I think Lynn Swan played in the 60s.
Book. That's the least appealing book I've ever heard.
Hey,
here's a team that you've never cared about. and here's a book about them from 50 years ago.
Don't you want to read about their old... Don't you want to read their old playbook?
No.
Back in their
the middle?
No, USC's old play... Like, USC used to run 3 plays. Five. They had a drop back pass, which was the one drop back pass. They had a play action. They had a lead draw, because everything, all of this is out of the I formation. So they had a lead draw. They had toss left and toss right. That was their playbook.
There you go. Well, so do you like them to cover versus Colorado? The non-believer in Colorado.
Give me USC. They're
USC
Colorado's not any good.
USC standing Dan.
US
Dan standing.
The US Dan Trojans.
And then, finally, 10:30, Wyoming at Fresno State. Wyoming catching 18. How wrong were you about Wyoming, man?
Their defense is good. Their offense is just even worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
Which maybe Josh Allen is a good player. Maybe their offense is just putrid.
He won last week. So it's two wins for Josh Allen.
Wyoming just can't seem to get anything going offensively. He's built a good defense. Their defense is one of the best in the Mountain West, but they can't do diddly poo.
Do they stop Fresno State, are they undefeated? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Fresno State doesn't do anything particularly well, but they just, I don't know, man. Like, they just win. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, they hired an ancient coach, the guy who used to be at Cal, you know, when Aaron Rodgers was there, who, like, his last 3 years at Cal, he wasn't any good, but they kept
him. Fresno State's lost one game, Dan.
To who?
Minnesota.
Not bad. You know, lost to an FBS team.
But they beat UCLA.
Well, everybody's beat UCLA. Yeah.
38-14. They lost to Minnesota by a touchdown, though.
You, me, and 20 of our buddies could beat UCLA.
They hung up 79 on Idaho. And they kind
That's
of,
not nice.
Except the Minnesota loss, they've kind of blown out everybody. They beat Nevada.
They're good.
21-3. Yeah, give me Fresno here minus 18. That's a little late night. Maybe parlay that with Hawaii.
Jeff Tedford's good. Yeah, give me Fresno.
Yeah, and it's not like they're just barely winning. I mean, they're beating. I bet if you went back and watched that Minnesota game, they probably just played bad or something weird.
Well, they're also playing an FBS team. I mean,
well, they're at Fresno. It looks like I don't know what went wrong for Minnesota. Stats look good. They just couldn't run the ball. It looks like that was the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota's quarterback threw for 175 yards on 16 passes.
Well.
That's wild.
That is.
Yeah.
Give me Fresno.
All right, Dan. I want to do this, though. I'll put some homework on you. You got to watch the NFL this Sunday.
Oh, God.
Because we got a game.
Hit me.
New England and Kansas City.
Well, if I get in time, because as you know, I will be playing golf again.
This is Sunday night football. This is Sunday night football.
Well, you know, night golf.
Been waiting all week.
I've been waiting all week to play golf on Sundays because that's my golf day.
Well, it is Patriots minus 3. I'm taking KC here.
Give me KC because I don't know. They seem better than
they just seem good. But we'll find out.
Although at some point, Pat Mahomes is probably going to throw a bunch of interceptions.
He's got to come back down to earth, right? Like,
and like it seems like New England is the sort of team that would cause that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Reid beat him, you know, kind of spanked New England last year, so maybe Belichick is also going to have something to prove. But at some point, Andy Reid's teams do slow down.
Like, usually, though, that it's in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's like famously not great for like making those adjustments you need in like December, January kind of playoff time. And I just wonder what happens to Kansas City when it gets cold.
They should be better, right? Because they're Kansas City.
Well, they can't run the ball, and their defense sucks. And that's not two great things in the Midwest. You know, like, looking at the Big Ten, like those teams usually can run the ball, play good defense.
Yeah, but it's NFL football now. All that's gone. No more.
Well, when it's 11 degrees and the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour and it's just raining frogs, can you really throw in that?
I don't think that happens in Kansas City, does it?
It does, and then your trailer gets swept up and you go to the...
Isn't Kansas City famously like the hottest stadium in the NFL?
I don't know if it's hot, it's the loudest.
I'm pretty sure it's really, really hot at Kansas City. Mm. Like, something about how the stadium's built causes it to be, like, insanely hot.
There you go. There's a constant fire.
Sure. It's hell, basically. As anyone who's ever been to Kansas City will tell you,
Dan,
being
you
in
got,
Missouri is hell.
Have you got? We're deep in the thick of it. Have you got any chance to watch any of the baseball playoffs?
Oh, heavens no.
You didn't even watch your beloved Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, they're not my Braves anymore. My Braves played at Ted Turner Field.
Well, they're my Braves. And that game on Sunday was fun. You know what? There is nothing quite like it as a sports fan, like rooting for your team in the baseball playoffs. It's like it's excruciating.
Well, baseball is pretty excruciating. So
yeah, but like especially when like any pitch can just ruin your whole fucking game here. You know, like you kind of forget. It's kind of like the same people who run like those crazy ass marathons or whatever. It's kind of like the sports fan equivalent of that. Like it sucks, but like when it's over, it's like yeah, it feels good.
So you mean like you poop yourself?
Yeah, a lot of pooping yourself. That's more of a football guy thing. I guess George Brett should.
Marathons. Marathons is all pooping yourself and peeing.
Well, so what George Brett famously shit himself.
Yes, that is
NFL famous. Players are
also George Brett was famous for having hemorrhoids.
But like
Mark Schlereth,
who's the guy who Mike Golic probably shit himself.
Mark Schlereth, he got his nickname Stink because if he ever had to go to the bathroom, he'd just go on himself, like in the huddle.
Like poop or pee?
Both.
Ooh, I know Golic did that too, or something, right?
Well, all offensive linemen will tell you that they pee themselves.
Well, Golic played D-line
at some point. No, Golic was offensive lineman. His brother was defense.
Oh, his brother played defense. Bob, the superior Golic, Bob.
The one that always looks like Rob Ryan. He's got like the same haircut.
I might have that backwards.
Golic might have been a defensive lineman.
Yeah. Who's your favorite Golic?
I'm gonna go with the long haired Golic.
I'm going with the junior. Son, Michael.
I don't know him at all.
I think he's hashtag woke.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
It just means like he's not a conservative douchebag. I think with like the players kneeling thing, he came out like kind of for it.
Is he one of those like more female prison guards types?
I'm not sure on that. I think he's just kind of similar to Chris Long.
Long's good people.
Yeah, Chris Long's a good guy. Friend of the show.
Chris Long. Be a class trader.
Come on the pod.
Like, get rich and then give all your money away. That's the way you do it.
Yeah. I think he donated his, like, salary last year to something or something.
Yeah, he grew up a rich kid and he's like, yeah, I don't really need this. Let's give it away.
Good. And he can go work for Barstool when he retires.
Oh, God.
I think he, like, would come on Pardon My Take a lot. I don't know if he does as much now. So there you go. Anything else before we get out of here, Dan?
Just, you know, if you're listening to this in Florida, like you get, you know, some LTE receptions, you can download this. Look, you know what you're going through, man. All the best to you.
Yeah.
Be safe.
And that's kind of it. And if you live in Florida and your home was destroyed, and you voted Republican, maybe God's punishing you.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe a little something to hold on to.
Maybe you need to get your ass back in church.
Yeah. Maybe stop, what's like one of those dumb like internet sayings? Like, everyone's trying to get an iPhone, but not enough time at church or something. Maybe instead of waiting in line at the Apple store for this.
You should wait in line at communion.
Yeah. Well, not community, just church.
I don't know. I mean, that's a very youth pastor thing to say. So what's the church, what's the denomination with the most youth pastors?
Oh, God. Well, probably Catholic. They're the most pedophiles, so it's probably...
Well, no, they don't have youth pastors.
They don't
size fits all priests.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the issue. Like, if you're a priest, you're a priest. Whereas, like, growing up Southern Baptist, there was
probably Baptist... I think anything like post Martin Luther.
That is part of my issue with modern Baptist churches, and is that they've now blurred the lines between youth pastor and pastor. And that used to be a very heavy, very delineated line.
Pastor's old. I don't want a young guy telling me what to do at church. I want an old fucker.
The pastor was bald. He wore a ill-fitting suit.
Maybe he wore a fedora. Like, the Methodist church, the guy wore a fedora sometimes. Not in church, mind you, but, like, you'd see him around town, like, fedora with feather. Maybe something like
okay,
a little bit of
okay, that's made up.
Yeah, a little bit. Real thing.
No, every Baptist minister never wore, like, he always looked like a guy who was, again, ill-fitting suit that he got from Men's Warehouse. And if you saw him out and about, he was in a golf shirt and khakis. Like, very nondescript, not a lot of attention, but he is definitely dressed up. And then the youth pastor always had the open shirt, no tie, khaki pants or khaki shorts, depending on if he was going to be leading you outside for some kind of activity. And maybe a sweater tied around his neck, maybe not. And then he would sit on the chair with the chair backwards and go, "Hey guys, you know, I know what it's like being young. I know you got a lot of temptations, but you know what? Have you heard about Jesus? You know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, should you be playing your PlayStation or should you be setting up your station in heaven? I don't know, man. You just think about it.
Maybe instead of getting the new PlayStation, what you need to get is the PrayStation."
And then they would have like a book that they would hand you called The Stations of Prayer. And it would be like each day would be like a different station and would basically be like, pray in different parts of your house. Set up pray stations around your house and make sure your parents know about them because they need to get right with God too because they're divorced because that's the kind of church this is.
That's it. So, we got to look at it next week. Well, before we do that, Dan, what are you most looking forward to in college football this week?
Michigan, Wisconsin.
Any like storyline or anything weird, like Lee Corso's nipples bleeding or...
Well, his needles, that's what he calls his nipples, are always bleeding. That's like his Hulk superpower. Hey, you want to know the secret? The secret is they're always bleeding.
As we look ahead to next week, NC State Clemson, Colorado Washington, Alabama Tennessee, Michigan State Michigan, Oklahoma TCU.
There's a bunch of pseudo rivalries in that thing. Like, yes. Oh, we're going to claim this is a rivalry. We may even have a trophy, but it is definitely not a rivalry.
What game are we most looking forward to for a deep dive? I'm going to say NC State Clemson or Colorado Washington.
Okay, we're going with the Textile Bowl then.
All right, Clemson Washington. There we go.
Clemson, NC State, they battle for the Textile Bowl trophy. Yeah.
It could be a big game for NC State, though. So,
oh, yeah, it's easily the biggest game of the year. I mean, if they win it, they could legitimately go undefeated.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, that's how easy their schedule is. This is like, and if they upset Clemson, they won't have to play them again. They're in the same division. That's it. You know, they got them.
So,
they just got to beat them once.
Also, Dan, Trey Young just hit a three-pointer from inside the G of Georgia Tech's court.
That's a long shot, if I'm not mistaken.
That is a very long shot. That was to win the preseason game. So, big shot Trey's here. Wait, I didn't see Luka Doncic do that.
I mean, is he even playing right now?
I don't know if Dallas is playing right now. He had a good shot that was, like, really lucky against a team from Beijing, so it must be really good. Oh, shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we've got a great episode in the bag. We gave you like an extra half of the show, so don't complain to us about anything ever. On that note, with that all said, fuck the Queen. Fuck Ole Miss. Fuck Australia. Fuck this latest hurricane, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And play the music, Jason.